Christian allies of the LGBT community may feel that they are being a good Christian by supporting and affirming this lifestyle. While we should have the heart of Christ by loving and treating everyone with compassion and respect, encouraging a homosexual to remain in this life is encouraging further enslavement into a life that is in rebellion to God. Jesus loved the outcasts, but still, he did not condone sin. It is hurting the homosexual. They need to know that deliverance is possible. This is a quote from author George Carneal's book, From Queer to Christ, My Journey into the Light, and it is the subject of my conversation with George in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, Dolores said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi friends, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. Have an announcement today. Soaring Eagle Radio is now heard on Worldview Weekend Radio. That's Worldview Weekend Radio. com. We're also heard on the Global Star Radio Network, gsradio.net, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're heard on Talk America Radio, that's talkamericaradio.us, Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, and Sundays at 7 a.m. Eastern. We're heard on the Prepper Broadcasting Network, prepperbroadcasting.com, 2 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Mondays. We're heard on the Fringe Radio Network, fringeradio.com, that's on demand. OnTheObjective.com, that's also on demand, and of course our flagship website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. My guest today is George Carneal. He's the author of From Queer to Christ, My Journey into the Light. Here's what George writes about himself on the back cover of his book. George Carneal grew up in the 1970s, raised by a Southern Baptist minister in the ultra-conservative Bible Belt, where his world revolved around the church, country fried chicken, and trying to fit in with other boys. George, welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thank you, Pastor Mike, for having me on the show.
George, I have to tell you as we start our conversation that I really admire your courage in writing this book. As I read it, I sensed that it had to be both painful but also liberating. And so I'm wondering, George, if you'd share with our listeners, when did the idea for writing your book occur to you? What led you to do this?
Well, I had actually spoken with D.L. Foster, who is also ex-gay, and I had tried ordering his book, and I was having an issue with the order. I spoke with him and told him a little bit about my background, and he said that I really had a fundamental duty to share my testimony. Well, at the time, I just put it on the back burner and didn't think much about it. But I would say about a year and a half after that, I just felt led to start writing, and I really didn't know where it would go. But as I started to write, I really felt, I guess, that I should move forward with this. And I just tried to tell myself, as hard as it was to write about the very painful stuff, I also had to believe that somewhere there was a gay or lesbian teenager in middle America who was going through what I had been through and perhaps were suicidal and just felt like there was no hope. I really had hoped that it would reach someone and help them. And I really just tried to push through whatever I feared people, how they might react to the book.
Yeah.
And well, it took me 5 years to write it, and it was very painful. It was very difficult to write.
Yeah.
But, yes, it was liberating because working through that, God gave me a lot of healing. And it was almost like going through free therapy.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was the sense of it for me, too, George, as I read through it. And I have to tell you this. I prayed for you on several occasions as I was reading through this book, and the Lord just impressed upon me to stop and pray for you, because what you experienced and what you went through, not that it's, and I don't want to speak out of turn because I've not lived your experiences, but what you experienced is just hard for most people to fathom and accept, and you've come out of that. Can I say, is it fair to say, intact with your sanity? I mean, that's some of the things you described, George, are just remarkable.
I would like to say yes, and I praise God for that. It was very difficult to go through, but it really speaks to how gracious our God is.
Yes.
So, yes.
Yeah, amen. And just for our listeners, if you get the book, and again, George Carneal is the author. The book is From Queer to Christ. You didn't pull any punches in describing a very difficult childhood. And I'm wondering, George, if you would just share some of that background, those years of struggling to understand your same-sex attraction and trying to fit in the midst of a climate in the, well, it would have been the same anywhere, I believe, but a climate of bullying and ridicule and shame and guilt and all of those things that were hurled at you.
Well, growing up in the 70s, it's not like today where you hear of homosexuality all the time. Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard of it. When boys are calling you sissy and faggot and queer and homo, I didn't even know what those words meant. And it was very confusing for me. And when I found out what they did mean, I was very confused as to how did they know something about me that I had yet to come to terms with myself. And I didn't understand where this same-sex attraction was coming from. Mm-hmm. And I so badly wanted to fit in with the boys, but it just wasn't working. And I think the difficulty and the bullying and going through school, in addition to going to church, where inevitably you would hear pastors, whether it was in revivals or other, you know, whether it was my father or others, you know, inevitably Sodom and Gomorrah would come up.
Yeah.
And as a child, I really could not process exactly what was going on with Sodom and Gomorrah, other than I interpreted it that God hates homosexuals and he hates them so much that he destroyed two cities because of them.
Yeah.
This really caused me to be in a lot of pain and turmoil trying to understand this. So I think and not being able to date and to talk to anyone about this and just feeling very alone in the struggle.
Yeah.
I think by the time I had gotten out of high school, I had really just become hardened and very angry. And I was angry at Christians, and I was angry at heterosexuals, and I was angry with God, and I hated God, and I told him I hated him. And I just didn't understand where this came from. And I wanted to write the book through the eyes and the mind of a child struggling with this, and someone who so badly wants to please God. You don't want to think that you're so horrible that God would destroy and condemn you. But at the same time, as a human being, I knew I wanted someone to love and to be loved.
Yes.
So it was very confusing to be in my head and not have anyone to talk to about it.
Yeah.
So it was a very frustrating, a very lonely and confusing time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this is not exactly easy to talk about.
No, I understand.
When I did graduate school and my father was called to pastor a church in Florida, I met a guy in an adult bookstore who we had sexually connected, but he told me about a gay bar. And when I walked into that gay bar for the first time, it was the first time that I had ever been in a place where I wasn't bullied, and I was getting a different kind of reaction from guys in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're so desperate and hungry for love and affection or some kind of community or just friends where you can be yourself. That's what caused me to get so deeply involved in the gay community so quickly. Now, I believe Satan knew exactly what he was doing. Yeah. So when I got into that, so desperate to fit in with other guys, unfortunately, the pitfalls of that life are that, yes, there's a lot of drug and alcohol abuse. And it's no different than the heterosexual community. So I want the gay community to know I'm not here to attack or judge them. I love them, and I want them to have the freedom and the peace that I had searched and longed for so long.
Yeah.
But at that time, I didn't know that was not the kind of attention I needed. So trying to deal with the struggle, and I became addicted to wanting the attention of guys. And maybe it had something to do with the disconnect of being rejected by my male peers when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I became very promiscuous, and I battled drugs and alcohol, and I suffered a really bad depression, suicidal thoughts, and I had, became a male prostitute for a while, and just had a very frightening experience with that. And out of the blue, my father called me and said it was time to come home, and he was in Kentucky at the time, and I did go home, and I eventually did attempt suicide. I just couldn't deal with the struggle anymore, and I tried getting rebaptized again. I kept thinking, I'll wash away the gay. There's something that I must be able to do to earn God's love. I could just never fathom God loving me and meeting me where I was. I just couldn't see it at the time. I thought God hates me, and Christians had just hounded in my head that, you're a pervert, you're a fag, God hates fags, you're going to hell. And so I had some very unfortunate experiences with Christians in addition to the bullying.
Yeah.
But I praise God that he started to slowly put Christians in my life who didn't judge me. Two ladies that I did speak about in the book who loved me in spite of what I had done or been through. They really showed the love of Christ.
Yeah.
And that was really the beginning of me having a little bit of a different outlook about Christians, but it would still be another 23 years before I would totally get out of that life, because I would eventually move to Los Angeles, and then I just got fully immersed in the life there and in the club scene and the bars and in the underground scenes of that.
Yeah. And that section of your book, it is obvious that Los Angeles provides many opportunities for folks that want to pursue that there. Those years were pretty tough on you as well, George, the years that you were in California looking for love and not being able to find it, never being satisfied with what you found. And of course, as I read that, I couldn't help but be impressed by the thought, George, that behind all of that, God was he had his hand on you, preventing you from doing some things, calling you back to himself ever so gently. And clearly, because we're talking today, he protected you through that entire time. Because folks, if you get the book and you read it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. George, you were in some pretty dangerous situations, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. One of the things that I was impressed about, too, your book is some of the spiritual principles that you identified, and I thought maybe we would chat about those too. Especially one of them that you learned along the way, as you described it, and it's this: the lack of approval or affirmation from an individual or even a group of people toward the homosexual lifestyle is not a personal attack on the homosexual. Now, many people misunderstand that point, don't they? They have a very difficult time understanding that not affirming something doesn't mean that you hate the person or that you're angry with the person.
Correct.
Yeah. You talk about in your book, one of the one of the primary things that you learned. And I think as I read it, George, it looked like it was a turning point for you, and that was learning to forgive.
Yes.
How important is that for people, George, to learn to forgive?
Well, somewhere along the way, Guy was through, let's just say that when I gave my life to Christ, I was so desperate for my peace of mind. I started doing spiritual warfare prayers. I started doing deliverance prayers. I tried to close all demonic doorways that I had possibly opened because I was very desperate.
Yeah.
And I, of course, had opened myself up to doctrines of demons because I spent quite a bit of time reading and studying New Age materials, and I looked into the occult and even Hindu teachings. And so I was very confused about a lot of things. I was so hungry for answers, but I was trying to build my own brand of spirituality and get to God, but I wanted to avoid Christians. And going to a church caused me a lot of anxiety. I'm very uncomfortable in churches. It's gotten better, but for a while there, I usually would just tend to sit on the back row and try to leave as quickly as possible. But when I started doing those prayers, I'm sorry, what is your question again? I'm sorry.
This is talking about forgiveness, and that seemed to be a very, very major discovery in your own life and a turning point.
Yes. So when I found out that when you don't forgive, that you give, of course, Christians can't be possessed, but we can be oppressed
or
you know what I mean?
Influenced.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When I found that out, I really worked hard to go back and try to make amends with people that I thought I had hurt, if I could find them, or forgive those who had hurt me. And it was very important that I tried to find forgiveness. And I found that it wasn't always easy. There were some people I still would like to have put in the electric chair. but I found that the more I prayed for them, God really did help me to find healing and forgiveness. And it was amazing the transformation I started to see in my own life.
Yeah.
And so I had a host send me, a radio host sent me a sermon on sexual sins with heterosexuals and homosexuals. Mm-hmm. And I was walking up in Hollywood one night, and God just all of a sudden revealed to me, it was almost like I got a quick overview of just my life. And how he was reminding me that you are where you are today because of the choices that you had made. Mm-hmm. And for a moment, I almost sat down and started crying because it was overwhelming what was being revealed to me. But this is how I knew the difference between Satan working in your life and God working in your life. It was almost as if immediately God helped me to see that, but there's hope and you're going to get healing. And so I didn't break down and cry. But he also helped me to see that, yes, while I had been focused on forgiving individuals, he also helped me to see that I need to address my attitude towards Christians in general. And I had never looked at how I felt about Christians as a whole. And so I really had to go back and repent and even ask for forgiveness with that. And I will say that as time has gone on, it's amazing what God will do in terms of the transformation. Yeah. And I would like to say this, if you don't mind. One of the things that I wished I had known early on is whenever you hear people give their testimonies, they'll tell you about some horrific things that God did or that you've been through, and then what God did to work in their life. And they seem like everything's great, everything's rosy. But what you often don't hear is that for many people, you do go through what I call that fiery trial or a dark period. Mm. At least I did.
Yeah.
To where God seemed distant. And mine wasn't overnight. God really had to deprogram me a lot of the things that I had come to believe just because of studying, you know, New Age teachings and Hinduism and the occult and just all the other nonsense and then the liberal Christian theology that I had sat under for some time. I was really so confused about the truth that I didn't know what it was anymore. And I never thought that God's word was the place that I could get the answers because I always feared reading God's word because I always just knew that's the place where God is going to condemn me for being a homosexual and he hates me. And I think that's probably why so many gays and lesbians don't want to read God's word I think it's a fair statement to say, not so much that they don't want or don't hunger for God's word or a relationship with him, but I think when you grow up in society and then in church and you feel that condemnation all the time, you just can't take it from another place, and especially knowing that you're so horrific that God hates you and that there's no hope for you. At least that's the way it was for me. But when I started to study God's word and look at the things that he was saying and stopped listening to the world and getting out from under that Christian liberal theology, God really started to open my eyes and slowly dismantle all of even the lies that I had thought about him. And he really had to show me who he really was versus what I had just come to believe about him. I believed the worst about God. And he had to dismantle that foundation and just show me how much he really does meet us where we are, and that he really does want a relationship with us, and that he loves us. And that was very hard for me to not only to absorb, but the fact that God loved me. I've only within the last 2 to 3 years really started to fully accept the fact that God loves me. And that has been a lifelong journey. So the point of saying all that is that for those who have perhaps given their life to Christ, but they are in that dark period, they don't know where God is, or they're searching, or they just feel like giving up, or they've lost hope, I encourage them to stick with it. And I will say that when I did walk away from that life, and it was about a 7 to 8 year journey of God getting me kind of on the other side of it, but I praise God that he allowed me to wallow in the misery of that life for 25 years. Because when he started to work on me and things became uncomfortable, you know, it's a natural tendency for some of us to want to run back to what we are comfortable with, whether it's drugs or alcohol or pornography or even food, or maybe it's a sexual addiction. But I had wallowed in that misery, and I knew that that life was not the answer. I didn't know what was the answer. I still wasn't completely sure where God was taking me on the journey, but I stuck with him because going back was not an option for me. And I'm so grateful that I, you know, just stuck with God and just eventually got out on the other side of it. So I would encourage people to not give up.
Yeah.
There is hope.
Yes. Amen. And you made that statement, George, in your book, and I have to tell you, that caused me to pause. I had to read that a second time, because in your book, you said that you're grateful for what you've been through. And I stopped and I read it, because this is towards the end of the book, and I read it again, and yep, that's exactly what it said. You're grateful. You say that your experiences enabled you to comprehend the depth of the riches of God's mercy and grace. And I think that's what you've just been talking about. Now, I've heard many other people make that statement in relation to a very difficult time, but I think your testimony, what you just shared in the last 4 or 5 minutes, I think it's really a sign of the transforming power of God's love, isn't it?
Yes, I will say, and I would say this to anyone who just feels like an absolute piece of crap, and excuse my French, but I have to just say it like it is. There are a lot of people out there who just feel so horrible about themselves, as if there's nothing about them that's lovable. And I want them to know God does love you, and he has helped me. That's why I'm grateful for all that I've been through, because had I not gone through it, perhaps I would have been one of those who just sat in church their whole life, and yes, I might have been religious, but maybe I would never have really understood the depth of God's love and his mercy and grace. And so although it wasn't fun to go through any of that stuff, it was quite painful. I'm grateful that I did go through it, because where I am now and the relationship that I have with God and the way that I view him has been well worth it in the long run. So I'm just determined to, in my own way, hopefully use that to help others, to encourage them and let them know that no matter what you've been through, I don't care what you've done, God will forgive you if you are truly sorry and you repent.
Yes.
That's how gracious and forgiving he is. And I want them to know there is hope.
Yes.
And don't let anybody tell you any differently.
That's right. Amen. Yeah. That's exactly right, George. Now, you demonstrate a tremendous amount of courage just writing on the subject itself. But you made a couple of statements that I just want to read and then we can discuss, because they're not popular statements, George. And you knew that when you wrote them. But I applaud you for writing them. And here are the statements you wrote in your book. Quote, you choose to be celibate and can do that because you are no longer controlled by a sexual addiction, end quote. And later you write, God does not create homosexuals. That behavior is a choice, end quote. Now, those aren't popular things to say, either in the LGBT community or the many churches that affirm and encourage LGBT choices. I applaud you for that, George. That took a tremendous amount of courage, and it took a knowledge that you were firmly planted in Christ to be able to be that bold, to speak truth lovingly to that community of believers.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, George.
It may not be a popular thing to say, but I want gays and lesbians and transgendered individuals who are listening to this to understand this. I had hoped that God would give me the affirmation that it was okay to be a homosexual. It was my dream and my desire to have someone to love me. And I wanted a solid, stable, good Christian man, someone that I could hopefully go to church with and serve the Lord with. Believe me, that was my dream, and I wanted it. And I searched for it, and I was open to it. But God was never, he just wasn't giving me peace with it. And I want them to know that I didn't just come to this decision lightly. This had been years of agony and struggle and frustration. And there were so many times I would sit in the car with my mom or my dad, or I'd just be on the interstate driving and just beating the steering wheel, pounding it, just so angry with God, because I didn't understand, because I couldn't listen to the arguments of the conservatives or the liberal Christians anymore. Because no matter what they said, if I went to the Word, I could hear both sides. And it caused more frustration and agony for me. And I just begged God. I said, God, if it's okay, give me peace about it. And if you tell me it's not okay under any circumstance, I'm still going to be committed and faithful to you and serve you. Amen. And so I was very honest in that prayer and very diligent about it. And the more I sat under that liberal Christian theology, having sat in a class where they were pushing this, and God just impressed upon me the word deprogramming. Mm-hmm. And I thought that God was, I got excited. I thought, oh, God is deprogramming me of the lies from the conservative Christian theology, mm-hmm. because they're just backwards and narrow-minded.
Yeah.
But little did I know God was deprogramming me of the lies of the Christian liberal theology, because he wasn't giving me any peace with it. And when I finally had just had enough and walked away from it, and I finally just accepted, okay, God, this is not in your will, and I accept that. And then I started studying the Word. The more that I have gotten away from that life, and God has just transformed in me and filled me in other ways, it doesn't mean that I, as a human being, don't get lonely,
right. But
that's just a wave, just like anybody has a moment of feeling sadness or grief, but it will leave. And I'm blessed that I have, you know, good people in my life and Christians, and I have my family. And so God has filled that void in other ways. But again, at the end of the day, as a human being, heterosexual or homosexual, we all desire to love and be loved. But I've been celibate and on that path for 10 years now, and it's actually not bad at all. So it's good.
Praise God. Well, George, what's been the response to your book? Have you gotten feedback from any in the LGBT community, any of your former associates or people that you used to hang with? What kind of response have you received?
Well, the liberal Christians don't talk to me anymore. My gay friends have pretty... Oh, I have a few left who hang in there. They call me the church lady, and you know, if I call them, they're like, "Well, are you here to save my soul?" I get all of that. Crack.
Yeah.
I do try to go on Facebook sometimes and wish somebody a happy birthday, and I find that they've disconnected me. It has been painful to some degree, but I'm never going to back down on my stance. I have no regrets about my decision for Christ.
Yes, amen.
Whatever the cost is. So be it.
Yeah.
But I want gays and lesbians, if they will sit back for just a moment and be honest with themselves and ask themselves, Are they truly happy? Do they truly have peace? If they can, there are many who are going to be honest about that life. And I just want them to know, if you've tried everything else and you've tried to numb yourself into to thinking that this life is acceptable before God, and you're still not at peace, all I'm asking you is to give Christ a chance and give your life and fully surrender to Him. Because even if you say you are a Christian and you've given your life to Christ and you are then in that life, it doesn't matter if you're heterosexual or homosexual, whatever the sin or the bondage is, if you are doing it, you're going to put a barrier between you and God. You can't go and live or do things that are contrary to God's word and then expect Him to bless you. Right. So you've got to get your feet out of the world. And really, truly, fully commit to God and read His principles in the Bible and do your best to follow them. It doesn't mean that we're not going to fail. We all will fall short. But God knows the heart, and He will help you even when you fall. But there is hope. And I'm not perfect still, but God has really taken away. It's amazing the transformation that I sometimes don't even recognize until He just brings it to my attention, of even how I think now, what my thought process is, or how far I've come from where I used to be. And sometimes I still sit in church and I'm in disbelief of where my life is today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the only thing I regret is that I didn't get this 10, 15, 20 years ago. Yeah. Unfortunately, perhaps I'm just thick-headed and it just took a little longer. But like I said, I wouldn't change anything. Everything I've been through, I praise God and thank Him for it. Because He's protected me, and I am here today, and I'm very happy of where I am now.
Folks, the book is From Queer to Christ, My Journey into the Light. George Carneal is my guest. George, have you given any thought to writing a follow-up book for other people struggling with same-sex attraction? I was thinking of that today in preparation for our conversation, and I thought, you know, something along the line of maybe answering the most asked questions would be a great follow-up book. What do you think?
It's certainly a thought, and people have asked, but I have to tell you, it took me 5 years to write this book. Yeah. At one point, it was like 500 pages long. I managed to condense it down to 138. Yeah. And when it really kicked my rear end, and it was very painful to write. So right now, the thought of sitting and writing anything
just doesn't do it.
It's
huh?
Like it's like asking me to eat broccoli. I just can't do it. but I might do it here shortly.
Well, as the Spirit leads, right? The Spirit empowers. The Spirit directs. The Spirit teaches and leads. And George, there are I jotted down three takeaways from your book as I was just thinking about it from a 10,000 foot view perspective. Three things, and amazingly, because the Holy Spirit is in control of even our conversations, George.
Yes.
Amazingly, I've heard you say some of these things, but here are the three things that I jotted down, and I wanted to get your feedback, your take, your response to these things. And that is this. Three takeaways. Number one, no matter how bad things seem, there's always hope. Secondly, no one is beyond God's reach. And
Absolutely. Thirdly,
because of one and two, don't give in to despair, depression, and the darkness that can easily overpower you. Instead, look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Your response, George?
My response is this. Some people give the impression that when you give your life to Christ, you know how some of these pastors are on TV. I'm not going to name names.
Right.
You're suddenly going to have a fat bank account and a fleet of cars and a big home and fame, and everything's going to be great. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way.
No,
it
doesn't.
If God chooses to bless you, He can. But
yes.
Being a Christian, living life is hard enough.
Mm.
Being a Christian is harder because then you start opening up to spiritual warfare.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that Satan is going to be able to take our soul. We are possessed by Christ.
Amen.
where he's going to do everything he can to make you miserable,
yes,
to keep you in bondage and despair and in depression and hopelessness. And I still have to fight that. That's why we have to, as God says, you know, put on the full armor of God.
Yes, amen.
And fight that. But when things, even at the times when it gets most darkest for me, or sometimes I lose faith or I just wonder where God is, I always stop and remind myself that this is going to end, and I know Jesus is returning soon.
Yes.
And the few years, or however many years of just agony that we have to go through, when you think of the eternal picture, it is going to be worth it. But there are two, I would like to give just two quick examples of, there are times where we will feel things that aren't in alignment with God's word, in which I've had to learn that my feelings always can't be trusted, and if it's not in alignment with God's word, it's the enemy attacking me. And the two areas where I have found this to be is, sometimes I really start to question if God is here, if he's near.
Yeah.
But God is omnipresent. I know he's everywhere.
Yes.
And I know he's with me even when he feels distant. So I know, because God's word promises that he's with me. So whenever I feel that, I then realize my feelings do not matter, because it is not the truth of what God promises me. So I dismiss those feelings. And the second is, whenever I feel like that God doesn't love me, all I have to do is look to the cross.
Yes.
If you ever doubt how much God loves you, all you have to do is stop and look at the cross. And
yes,
if you ever really understand what Jesus went through and endured at the cross, and sometimes I wish the Bible had just gotten more graphic about it. I mean, it's graphic enough,
yeah,
and watching Passion of the Christ gave me some inkling of what Christ had to have gone through, which is heartbreaking. But I know God loves me. He loves all of us. So whenever I go through those feelings of, oh, God doesn't love me, nope, I've learned now to just dismiss it. It's just the enemy trying to attack me. So he's got to find new methods, because
yes,
that's not working anymore.
Yeah.
So sometimes you... Yeah, so the benefit of studying God's word is, when you know what he promises and what he claims, you can claim that, and if you know it, so when those feelings aren't in alignment with that, you know it's the enemy trying to drag you down.
Yes.
And,
amen.
And that's the benefit of just really reading and studying God's word.
Yes. Amen, George. Absolutely spot on. Well, George, I know that you're on Twitter. That's how we connected and started chatting and introduced ourselves one to another, and ended up with this conversation on Soaring Eagle Radio. But how can folks connect with you? Perhaps some are listening and they have questions that they'd like to ask. How might they do that?
Well, my website is www.georgecarneal, that's C-A-R-N as in Nancy, E-A-L.com. And there is a contact tab, and I give my email address, or you can fill out the form, whatever is easiest. And just please be patient with me if I'm slow to get back to you. But you can contact me that way. I am on Twitter. And I also wanted to say, especially I want to say to parents out there who, because I'm getting emails from parents who are finding out that their child is either gay, lesbian, or transgender.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are devastated. They don't know how to deal with it. And I want them to know that on the blog tab, there is a resources and testimonies link. And I've listed a lot of just testimonies and resources that perhaps will just arm parents with information, and to know that there's even support groups for them out there, or hopefully they can find ways to connect with other parents to get through this. And I just want to say to them, It is not the end of the world if your child has come out as gay, lesbian, or transgender, because I will tell you, my father, who is a pastor, prayed faithfully for me all those years. And yes, it took 25 years for me to get out, but God's going to do it. His timing is going to be his timing. But I want parents to know, don't get impatient and trust God. Continue to pray for your children. Just don't. That's the best thing that you could do, is just pray for their safety and pray that God will just pray for their covering and protection, and hopefully God will get them open their eyes to the deception and the lies of that life, because they're being bombarded so much these days with the media and music and film and television, and it's accepted, and the liberal theology, and you've got to just sit down and just be honest with them, and don't worry about offending people. If you know of someone that you're wanting to kind of address this with, I mean, in the book, I do slip the gospel in and the plan of salvation. So you don't have to do anything but just give them the book because it's there. But the reason why I did that was because I have a lot of gay friends, and it's impossible for me to sit and to try to witness to all of them. So I felt like if I'm going to do this, this is my one chance to really present the gospel to them and the plan of salvation. What they do with the information after that, I have no control over. But all I can do is have to trust that the Holy Spirit will just move in their life, and hopefully at some point their eyes will be opened, and the truth will hit them, and they will desire to come to know Jesus as their Savior before it's too late.
Amen.
I just don't want parents to give up hope.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm just going to correct one impression that our listeners may have gathered. George said I slipped in the gospel. Let me tell you something. He didn't slip it in. It is right there in full view.
Okay.
Chapter 26, God's plan for your life. He devotes an entire chapter to talking about what it means to be born again, how you can become a born-again son or daughter of God. And then he lays it out. You realize that you're a sinner. And because of that, you're condemned to death. But Jesus shed his blood and died for you. So repent and turn from that sin. Place your faith in Christ. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in the finished work of what Jesus did on the cross. Receive Christ, and you will be saved. Now, that's about as good a sermon as you're going to get anywhere. And George has got it in his book. So he wants to continue to make the main thing the main thing. George has got a remarkable testimony, but he wants everybody to understand who saved him, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful God we serve, George.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you, George, being on with me in this episode and sharing a little bit about your background. And I look forward to us keeping track of one another, and I know that we like some of the same authors and speakers out there. We chatted a little bit about that before the show, and so I'm sure that our paths are going to cross many more times, George. I appreciate you very much and your testimony for the Lord. God bless you. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for allowing me to be on the show, and I just want to say to everyone, there is hope. Don't give up hope, okay?
Amen.
Christ can do it for you.
That's right.
Thank you.
No matter how bad things seem, there's always hope. No one
is
beyond God's reach. And because of those two things, don't give in to despair, depression, and darkness. Cry out to Jesus. Amen. God bless you, George.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Mike. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek Him.